Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Itata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, half-elf Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter, half-orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tellyman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Krizzlick.
Oh, Krizzlick.
Krizzlick.
Where we last left our adventurers was in the midst of what you might call rescue mission. You three having decided that Rook, Sleepy E, must be in some sort of unfortunate condition because, you know, Steve, you got a ping on him and it seemed like he was lying down and surrounded, and everybody figured there's something wrong with this, and you were not led astray. You guys stormed the quartermaster's barracks, literally stormed the place. Rook, you had, I guess, a spell slot or two really helped you reconnect with your three companions. Then hemmed in the final confrontation, you guys were set upon from all directions, and one of your party members was cloven virtually into this medium-sized badger that you guys had rescued from the island of Bool. You know, it was in shackles, and Kaitoa has taken Krizzlick. He's taken her into his arms. You guys all remember the last 2 weeks or so, this badger kind of being not a bad sport, and clearly now dead.
Clearly dead.
Like, mostly dead or entirely dead?
Kaitoa checks for a heartbeat.
Oh, that longsword, god damn, it has really almost cloven her in two. And I mean, I don't know, you've almost picked up two halves of badger. She's held together by, you know, a layer of fat and muscle. But I mean, Kaitoa, do you have anything on you to sort of wrap this badger up? Because she has bled through the poncho, Steve, as you look on, and the poncho has kind of been driven in to this huge gash.
Rook's gonna yell to Kaitoa, knit her back together.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
knit Kaitoa, knit like you've never knit before.
Yeah, can I suture this badger back together?
What was Kaitoa knitting for Rook?
A tutu.
It was a tutu.
As you start to, I guess, staunch the bleeding with that party, what are you doing as this dark hallway, remember, is lit only by torchlight sort of at each corner? Two bodies behind you, recently slain. Four in front of you, even fresher. And Kaitoa, typically, you would be, I guess, the one standing amongst the bodies. Beleg, you're just off to the side. Steve and Rook, you're near the front. And Rook, yeah, you're still leaning on the wall, although cured to a certain extent by Steve. You are still, you're hanging on.
So would I just want to ask, my dark vision is 60 feet, right?
Oh, yeah.
So can I see past where, I should be able to see past where this is lit to see if I want to check around our surroundings and just make sure I don't see anybody else coming from around us.
Okay.
Just a quick survey.
You are looking at a blind corner, Rook.
Front, this way.
40 feet directly down the hallway. You see that hallway hook to your left. And Party, this is where you came from, where Rook is now indicating to.
I saw that you guys came from this way. Should we go back this way to get out of here and back to the White Chain?
Rook, your new house sucks.
I thought it was pretty awesome until I got attacked.
Oh, the place is nice. The company sucks, though.
Yeah, Robin, I'm gonna grab a piece of cloth off of any of the dead bodies, wrap the badger in it, and try and, you know, like, apply pressure, like a bandage of some kind with pressure with some rope I have.
Okay, can you roll a medicine or something else? I mean, you could roll medicine or perception to find the articles you described.
I'm going to go with perception.
I would like to persuade the badger to stay alive.
I got a 14.
No, Tomo, let me. I got that plus 6.
Yeah, but I need to cross it off my my skills.
Oh, fuck. Touché.
While they're doing that, I'm going to search the bodies right in front of me here.
Okay, so in order here, so Rook, we'll get to your looting. Steve, you were second there, but... Caleb, first year, 14. You would actually see one of these guys, the one who came maybe first at Beleg, has like a nice leather armor top piece that you think actually could make a nice kind of handbag stretcher for Krizblik.
Sweet.
So if you want, you can go over and I'll count that also as looting the body.
Awesome.
Okay. And then as you put sort of Krizblik in the nook of your arm there and go do that, Steve and Beleg, both of you are fighting to persuade the spirit of Krizblik to stay?
Well, I think...
mentally massaging her shoulders.
I think it's easier for Steve to try to use medicine. I think it's more likely.
Rub some gorp in it.
Yeah. I'm gonna see what I have in my various satchels, specifically with any kind of herbs that I've collected over time.
Sprinkle some red frog in there.
And Steve is also consulting with Stolas as to what herbs could be potentially useful.
Oh. Consulting with Stolas. Okay, so that's a medicine. So roll on advantage with medicine.
Okay.
We'll say maybe Stolas is granting that medicine. Knowledge of herbs and herb lore.
15.
Herbs are not going to do anything here. You see a grievous flesh wound, you know, down to sinew and organs. Krizblik is not breathing. Kaitoa, to answer your question before, there is no heartbeat.
I'm all out of magicking as well.
Can we get Krizblik to Mickey or fuck, Lieutenant Dan?
Oh yeah. Kaitoa, as you start to murmur, you've now got Krizblik in sort of a, let's say a leather stretcher, you know, the top tunic portion of a grown soldier here. It seems to be a perfect size here. So in a way, let's say Krizblik is not falling apart.
Nice.
Let's say you've kind of got her, you know, bits like a nice taco shell, like you've rolled her up in a little leather burrito.
Rook, what do we do?
As you, you're then looking at those first four here, who you note have all of your handiwork on them, the singed capes, bit of poison spray on one of these guys. You're seeing the typical soldier's garb. You know, you've become quite familiar with guys. They don't seem to have many personal effects on them. I mean, these guys seem like soldiers that were on duty. One thing you might note, Rook, as you go over them, well, yeah, roll a quick perception as you're looting bodies.
Any medical kits?
well, was it my passive perception is 11. Does that get me anywhere?
You want to go with that?
Let's see.
Take 10?
No, I'll go with my roll. It's an 18.
You would notice these are all rather young men. Even this brute of a man that, you know, stood in front of you and with two hands rent Krizblik asunder. Like, these all seem like relatively young guys, Rook, as you go over them. I mean, some of them don't have a hair on their chin, but they were well-trained, in fact. I mean, as you remember, just fighting with these guys, these were no, you know, untrained kids, and yet they do not have the markings of a seasoned soldier. As you go over them, though, Rook, their weapons are there. You got a couple bucklers, two long swords, two short swords. There's a broken axe, and then all of the armor they're wearing. There's two chainmail shirts. There's a breastplate. There's a leather jerkin.
I think we should send the body collectors back here to collect these guys and get us all their goods and bring it back to the White Chain like we've done before.
Steve's gonna collect his daggers before that happens too.
Can I ask, do they look like unsullied?
Yeah, these are some fresh faces, man.
So guys, what do we do about Crispin? Because I know when we brought Mickey in, there was no healing to be done there, and it was us, like, we gave all those potions to Mickey to get him alive, so I feel like...
What about the lady at the store?
Or the wizard and spear. Yeah, I say we go to the wizard and spear, and we say, like, save this fucking badger.
Well, we gotta make a move out of here, so let's get moving.
So, wizard and spear?
Yeah, all right with that.
We gotta save my badger.
Save my badge! Save my badge!
Let's do it. Are we going the way that you guys came from?
Yeah, because we passed right by it, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say let's go the way we came in. I don't think we have much time to spare for saving this badger.
Let's get this badger to the wizard spear.
And then we come back and burn this place to the ground.
If I may ask...
Are we burning the whole city again?
Yeah.
What prompted this attack on you? Why did they attack you? I thought you were the quartermaster.
When I walked up to the building, they just stormed at me because I killed that buddy in the duel.
Do you think we're going to have more trouble with these guys?
Well, these are the same guys that confronted us when we were fighting against the gnolls in the square after the execution. They didn't fight at all.
Oh, okay, yeah, they were the cats that just hung out.
Yeah, so these were those same guys, so it just seems like they've got a bit of a...
allegiance.
Hard on for us.
Yeah.
And so, when I killed, when I commanded them to stand down as they were storming towards me as their new quartermaster, they didn't, and I had to fight them.
So the general guardsmen of this town, we're not really going to have to worry about.
No, not the general. It just seems... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is a small faction that had allegiance to someone else.
Cool.
To the old quartermaster, and then who is the quartermaster's right hand that I just killed in the duel? I can't remember his name.
Flaunton?
Flaunton?
Yeah.
Fuck Flaunton.
Yeah.
Cunty fuck.
Okay, let's go to Wizard and Spear before this badger dies.
Are you guys coming?
Yeah.
As you guys move, Rook, you've moved your max there, so everybody can move 30 at a time.
Are we still in combat?
And Rook, as you make it through the entranceway here, past five bodies in the, the guard booth area, this is sort of where, in your haze, you remember being dragged through. And now you are staring into the inner courtyard of the quartermaster barracks. Rook, you're a bit disoriented. Can you roll stealth? Party, as you move down the hallway, you are not leaving as a coordinated group. Steve?
18.
Okay. And the owl and Kaitoa and Beleg are sort of shuffling up behind you. Rook? See all the way to the end of the complex?
Yeah, to the left.
Dark vision's a wonderful thing because, you're able to see through to the second in your courtyard where they look like there could be stables and like a mustering station. And there is torchlight back there and you see silhouetted a couple of sentries.
I'm going to turn to Kaitoa and Steve, who are right by me. I guess Beltleg's there too. And just kind of, hold up. and just kind of put my hand up to stop and quickly say, there's a couple of sentries through the courtyard on and down into a second courtyard on the left. So let's either play it cautious or find another way, I guess.
Let's fuck them up.
Did you guys come through?
Yeah, I'm down to just dead sprint right through these guys to get this badger to the wizard and sphere, but...
I think what Steve wants to do is get back up on the rooftops.
And also, Rob, I take off my my rook disguise.
Unless you guys stop me, I'm about to just go like jogging down the street or like sprinting down the street to get there.
Well, which way did you guys come through, that way, or did you come through another way?
We came up to, I guess, the right.
So, Beleg, copy that. You are no longer in the guise of Damaged Rook, the new quartermaster of Polb. Are you just back to your, like, Polb generic guy number two?
Yeah.
Okay. And, Steve, you mentioned that you wanted to exit the building as quickly as you could, mount back up onto the roofs. Well, from the outside, if you're leaving with your party, that is a very tough thing without, like, a grappling throw up. And on the other side, Steve, that would be much easier if you wanted to mount back out. And your owl familiar, just quickly, is he back in the vortex of your poncho?
No, I was like, he's on the shoulder.
Right. Steve, we gotta perfect me just like cannonball tossing you under roofs.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Just give me the alley-oof.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
You're a young little boy. I'm pretty sure I could just, like, huck you.
Just
like...
launch me? Yeah, man, I'm into it. If you want to step stool me up, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
As you stand amongst the blood stains of the entrance to the barracks, what is the party doing? Steve, it'll be either strength or acrobatics or dexterity for throwing your grappling or simply doing a little Jackie Channing up here.
I'll take acrobatics.
Okay.
If Rook has let us know, do I use my stealth as well to get around?
In this case, your urban poncho is the perfect camouflage. You know the sentries you're trying to avoid. No need to roll another stealth.
All right. I mean, if I don't need to use the grappling hook as much as I like being Batman, I'm just going to Jackie Chan my way up. Okay.
So good move. Keep it nice and quiet, because I think that grappling hook clinking might have alerted me to make you roll for something. But you could be up on the roof now, and now you would be coming around, Steve, and seeing the same scene as before.
Wonderful.
Now I got roof maps for Steve.
I rolled a 22 for my for my acrobatics, so I assume that's enough to get up there.
Okay. Do you guys want to all be outside the quartermaster's barracks? You guys are just at the perimeter of either kind of staying or leaving. Kaitoa is just like, he is chomping at the bit to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm just following them right now.
Okay.
I still have temporary hit points, so I just want to like get into more fights, deal more cold damage.
So although your armor of Agathys is sort of, you know, frost in here, you're no longer as Rook, right?
Yeah.
Okay, guys. And then Steve, you're also given the, you know, the advantage of being up on the roof. So, Steve, what's your passive perception like up on the roof?
It is normally a 15.
Up on the roof.
Okay, and generally, Steve, what would you say is your purpose, you know, for wanting to, you know, in these situations, gain height and etc.?
I guess like an advantageous position to see kind of what's around. You get a better view of everything.
To see like three guards and three archers approaching your position immediately behind you?
Yep, that would be exactly why I'm up there.
Are those figures I just described, and they are now in the courtyard. They're advancing sort of around the perimeter. They have not seen you, but you are seeing them as you look back over your shoulder, Steve, back to the other way. Your party, what are you doing?
I am sending a message to all three guys, starting with Rook, because it seems like he's closest to them, that we have enemies behind us.
So keep moving.
Are we disengaged? We're disengaging? We're moving?
We gotta get this badger
to a magician of some sort.
Okay.
Magician.
I will.
I can't revive him, but I can cut him in half and then put him back together again.
Yeah, exactly.
I can make this piece disappear while this piece goes up on the shelf or on the roof.
Beleg and Rook, as you guys quip
an infinite ribbon out of his butt.
As you guys quip and riff, Rook, you were the one given the message by Steve, yeah? He's the one that you entrusted to give the party the jump. You are going to feel an arrow hit very near to you, Rook, and bounce off the cobblestones.
If this is the entry here, right? This is where they see him. I'm tossing two bags worth of caltrops on the ground in this area.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna litter sort of this area here with.
Okay. And how many in a bag? Like 30 or so?
It doesn't necessarily specify. I think it just covers a certain area.
Oh, does it cover like a certain square footage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they laced with Red Frog?
Should be.
So a single bag of caltrops covers a 5-foot square area. I had two bags, so I guess it's like 10-foot area.
10-foot by 5-foot?
That covers okay. The doorway.
Perfect, Steve. You do that, and you can be assured that, you know, Home Alone style, anybody entering this immediate area gonna feel the pain through even boots. These are mean looking, like 2 to 3 inch spike caltrops. Ouch!
I love the Home Alone reference, especially because it's Steve, this little boy, just like, and the wet bandits coming after him.
And Steve, just like Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Oh, groan.
Okay, so Beleg, Rook, you have moments to react as Kaitoa. You are taking off northwards along South Main Street, if I gather correctly.
Yep.
Yo, quickly say, come on, they're coming. Unless you want to take them out.
No. I do, but...
Oh, I'm down to fight, but I'm just going to follow you guys.
We either say goodbye to the badger and fight these guys with half health, or we just go save the badger, rest, and come back and fuck this place up.
Well, yeah. Second option.
I'm like less than half health.
This is Rook's new home. We will come back and clear it out.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm weird. I almost died.
Yeah.
You ready to be the quartermaster of nobody, Rook?
Yeah.
we can always recruit more later. Yeah.
Well, we need to figure out and go back and take out Nafri. Okay. I want to slit that guy's throat.
Yeah. Yes, I want to fuck him up. You want to slit his throat, Rook? You didn't even have to fight his fucking otherworldly being, you fucking asshat.
These guys would
be otherworldly being. Isn't he still in the Hurt Locker?
No.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to catch you up.
Yeah, let's
see the badger. Right place for it either. Let's get going.
Yeah. Okay, follow Kaitoa.
Kaitoa, as you head northwards along South Main Street, you see a familiar sight. It is a wagon drawn by like two work ponies, and they're fast approaching you.
What's that girl's name?
Leah,
right. So do we approach them?
Yeah, tell them to get the bodies and bring them back.
Yeah, we got a bunch of bodies. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna run up.
Theus and Tobias, that's their name.
Yeah.
The new patrons. A bit late to be out on city business, isn't it?
There's no time to talk. Where's Leah?
The lady from the wizardry shop.
Yep.
Talk faster, and I shake him.
Well, we're going the wrong way.
We're going the wrong way, silly tin can man.
And the fellow on the back is pointing the other way.
To the wizard in spear is south. Oh. Come then. Put your bodies on. How many? What do you carry there?
They're in the doorway.
And I point back to where we came from.
5 or so bodies there. We'll meet you back at the wizard in spear.
Wei Ching.
Oh, right, the white chain. Yeah, sorry, it was
Steve, you know, you're the one, I guess, above on Overwatch, kind of watching this interaction. And then yeah, the three of you stand with these the meat wagoneers in the street, and Kaitoa, the low spoken, kind of burly fellow, is going towards you to take the body out of your hand.
And I push him away.
Oh, hey, not meat. Good sausage meat in there, I smell it.
Nope.
I'm gonna tell him there's, as your new quartermaster, there's some bodies in the quartermaster's chamber. Please go collect them and bring them to the white chain, and I'm gonna flip them 2 copper.
Oh, thank you, Milo, thank you. First things first, where to? North, back to your hotel restaurant, or southwards to the wizardry shop?
Bring them to the white chain.
Very well.
Robin, is there only one cart?
There is. The sort of lithe fellow stands on the cart as Rook's orders have been heard at the moment, and they are starting to move around the building back to where you just left a gruesome scene. These guys are clearly not perturbed by that, but you also left, I don't know, a handful of charging guards. Steve, you see both of these scenes about to collide.
Robin, I'm going to take cover behind the cart and try and sneak behind the cart as it moves past this doorway.
Okay. As long as you stoop, you could pull that off with probably a stealth.
Okay.
The cart.
What are these guys doing? Are they just standing in the center of the courtyard, or are they on the move as well?
Kaitoa, what was your stealth?
Non-natural 20.
Okay, then Steve, to answer your question, and Kaitoa, you are well obscured by the large wheels of this wagon as it lurches forward. Beleg and Rook, you are seeing Kaitoa just sort of make a move on his own to get behind this thing as a screen. And then Steve, you would now notice those guards, they didn't seem to see your caltrops, you know, drop off the roof. One archer here is pointing furiously about, and you can just overhear, and one of them seems to be gesticulating wildly.
From my vantage point, would I be able to attack while staying close enough to the rooftop to make it difficult for them to see where it's coming from?
Oh yeah, you have good cover there. And it appears that most of these guys are in your range, and yet they're kind of scouring the perimeter, Steve, and just now the three melee fighters, these three armed folks with bucklers and swords, they are now seeing a cart pull up to the front and start to load armor and body parts on, and they are now making towards that part of the building.
Have they haven't stepped on the caltrops yet?
Not yet. In moments, they will be. So we'll cut from you on the roof, Steve. What's the last thing you would do up here?
Steve is going to ready. Should they enter the caltrop zone, they're going to be injured and they will raise the alarm. So I'm readying daggers. As soon as they step on those caltrops, they're going to eat daggers too.
Do caltrops slow movement speed?
Yep.
And damage, yeah.
Take one piercing damage. Yeah, until the creature regains its speed is reduced by 10.
So, Robin, if I peek around this cart, can I see any of the guards from, like that would have a clear line of sight if I was coming from behind this cart?
Oh, any attempt that Kaitoa makes to peek around will break stealth.
Okay, so I'm going to hold off, and as soon as I hear either like an ouch or a yell of like Steve shooting a dagger or something like that, I'm going to bolt south for the white chain. I mean, Wizard and Spear.
Okay, then you see Tobias and Matthias, these fellows you've come to know, the body collectors, the post-battle cleanup crew. They, you know, the guy on the back hops off the wagon and the fellow in front gets the horses stopped here, and then Kaitoa, and you are now stopped dead behind the wagon. And they are now starting to come up to the torchlight in front of the quartermaster's barracks. And especially the one fellow. Oh boy, is he either stealthily and gingerly starting to kind of chop up people right now and put them into these nice little bags. Beleg, what are you up to?
I'm hanging with Rook. Also waiting to hear stuff. Prepared to fight if we have to, but mostly just content to follow Krytoa, a construct on a mission.
Okay, well, the sun has set, a long time ago, guys. The evening has now totally worn out. It is night, and it will, very soon be turning to cold night, and lanterns, although they're still on along the streets, those crowds have mostly dissipated. So you, Rook, and Beleg, just at the corner there, seeing Krytoa against the wagon, and Steve seeing the three guards approach Caltrop Zone.
I want to... Steve's idea is that if these guys stop, they're not eating daggers. If they step in the Caltrops and are about to raise the alarm, I want to kill them before they can make a noise. I'm hoping that the archers aren't going to be able to see across the courtyard. Maybe they will. Who knows?
So, Steve,
at the very least, they won't hear the yells.
You do feel a little exposed up here, Steve. You're above the torchlight, either outside of the compound, and you're high up, but you are lit from inside the compound, and you do see this one archer who's been gesticulating around. He is training his bow near Rook.
I'm gonna let these guys, if they want to pass and go south, what I'm gonna do is create enough of a panic or commotion when those guys start dropping. Allow the rest of the party to keep moving. I know Krytoa wants to keep going, so I'm going to give him cover.
I think I'm going to dash this way.
We might as well all move together. So I look back at you and I give like a ready signal. And like as soon as you're like countdown, we're going.
Okay, and I'm going to move 30 feet. South this way.
I will give you guys advantage if you can coordinate the move you're talking about.
Okay. So I look back at Rook and Beleg, and I gesture in the direction we're headed, and I start doing like a countdown with my hand, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're moving.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna tap Beleg as I start to make move.
If Rook wasn't there, I would assume Beleg didn't notice this because of his shitty perception, but I like to think that Rook probably pointed.
Yeah, I grabbed your shoulder and
elbow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All three of you can jointly roll together with advantage, give you your choice of, athletics or strength, for you speed runner guys, or stealth for you dex folks.
Sorry, stealth or what did you say?
Well, dexterity.
Athletics. Oh, dex.
Yeah. Dexterity based skill or a strength based skill?
Oh, thank you.
Athletics.
I'll take the 21.
How did we all roll?
14 plus 3 plus 2. So 16.
I rolled a 7 plus 3, 10. Athletics.
Krytoa's got an 18 plus 3 for strength.
Was that with advantage, Rook?
Oh, it was. It was.
My second one is a 19 plus 2.
Good
job. I forgot to roll the advantage.
What was the second Rook?
I got a 3 plus 3, so that's 6. Or a 7 plus 3, so that gives me 10.
Oh. That was well coordinated. Krytoa, had a great finger move. Boom, boom. Let's do it. But Rook, you are limping. You cannot make it across the field of view as fast as your friends. And just as you have, lagged behind here, and the meat wagoneers seem to be loading up maybe the second or third of the five bodies that you indicated to them were available for processing, you hear shouting.
Who goes there in the city of Paul?
No, because daggers are hitting their faces.
Okay, and Steve, it's the first man here who has yelled, and both of his compatriots seem to be also moving up to be in line with him. So who are you targeting?
So the guy who opened his mouth gets a dagger right in it.
Okay, as he finishes his sentence, roll against AC, and this would be with advantage.
Okay. Do I do my compliment, my regular compliment of attacks?
It would be up to you. What I would say is this is a surprise dagger with advantage without eating into any part of your theoretical combat move.
Okay. That is a 22.
Well, that will find a, as Steve loves to say, soft spot. And
yeah, like the soft palate of the back of his mouth.
Oh, boy. As he opens up to the night to shout out these words, you know, through the passageway, out into the street, where you guys all clearly hear this. Roll damage?
Well, that is a 16.
His two fellows here, Steve, in the same moment, you see them run into the caltrop zone. What do they need to do as they run over these caltrops?
So immediately they have to do a DC 15 dexterity check, or they have like a feet full of metal.
15.
Yeah. We have to roll on a 15 check.
That won't do it. Neither are going to pass it. So what kind of damage would they take?
So they immediately lose 10 feet of movement, and every step they take a damage.
Okay.
Every step they take.
They do have the ability to stop, I think. So any creature that enters the area must succeed on a DC 15 dexterity saving throw or stop moving and take one piercing damage.
Ooh. Okay, so they must stop moving, and they've both taken one piercing damage?
Yeah, the damage is minimal, but it keeps them from moving. And at this point, they're also going to eat a few daggers each.
Okay.
My boots! My feet!
And one of them is popping.
I'm just waiting for their mouths to open, because they also could eat daggers. Yeah, I'm trying to effectively keep them as silent as possible.
Okay. Party, you hear screaming coming from through that entranceway, and although Rook, you know, you limping past the field of view here clearly prompted some shouting, you're now not really being, you know, pursued, as you can all clearly see through this roughly, you know, 8-foot archway that leads in here. These guards are taking Steve daggers. And Steve, at this very moment, you're going to hear two arrows come within your vicinity, and one arrow is going to pierce you.
Okay.
For 14 damage.
Damn!
Oh, shit.
And as you look with glee, you know, down at these other targets, you may have extended your welcome on the roof.
Single line of blood comes out of Steve's mouth.
Am I in initiative?
You are trading long shots with this one fellow, centermost among this line of three archers, roughly at the edge of the first inner courtyard, about 50, 60 feet away from you,
yeah.
And before the other inner courtyard. The other two, you can see, they are craning into the night. They cannot see. You have met some sort of match, Steve.
Is when Steve got hit, did he let out any sort of like audible ouch or...
No.
Steve knows better than that.
Yeah.
So, Steve, we're going to just cut away from you quickly. All I would say, guys, is that you certainly know Steve is up there. Perhaps, given his position there, he might be, you know, a small outlined lump or hump on the edge of the building. But you have not heard anything, because these guards, they are waking up the neighborhood. They are absolutely screaming as they writhe in Caltrop Alley.
Belleg, because he knows what happened last time the party split up.
Send a message. Just run.
No, I'm staying.
Okay, Bella, you have posted up right next to an approximately 8 foot tall, you know, cast iron, lantern post or torchlight post.
I want to hide around the corner, so not be seen, but still hang out and listen close to Steve.
And as you do, you hear the one fellow jumping back on the meat wagoneer's cart.
Danger pay! Danger pay! Next time, we don't do this sort of brawling!
And the burly fellow has brought his ponies about. And guys, they're now taking off southwards towards the vicinity of the wizard and spear. They seem to have loaded all but one of the bodies that you indicated were up for grabs, but they are now quickly leaving away, and they're just passing you, Kaitoa.
North or south?
And south. They are going south.
They're leaving in a panic, so they're just going whatever directions you
need. Okay. Well, then, yeah. I'm jumping on board.
Me too.
I give them the thumbs up and a wink, and in my head, I just hope that this doesn't turn out the same way that it turned out last time I gave him a thumbs up and a wink.
Yeah.
Didn't see him for a while.
You and Steve meet us at the Wizard and Spear. We're going to try to heal or save Krizblik, and I need to get some more healing potions for us all.
I was going to say, can we get this cart to roll by the roof and you guys jump down onto the cart?
when Rook gives me the gesture and stuff, can I rock a dex check to try and toss him a stone of near speech?
Well, two questions there. Kaitoa, on who've just manned the cart, you guys lumber on there, and the one fellow leading the ponies obviously has not noticed, but the fellow in the back turns around and looks quite surprised.
You're quite heavy, you know, but I suppose on you get, and pays and payday's a payday. Come on, then.
To the wizard and spear.
Steel or gold, which one would you prefer?
A little bit of both. Gold in my pocket and steel in my hand.
And the cart is taking off, guys. You are leaving in front of the quartermaster's barracks.
I guess as I see Bella reaching for a stone of near speech and wanting to throw it to me, so I'm going to hold my hands out, try to catch it, if he's going to throw it.
Well done. That'll be Dex and Dex, guys.
I'm also going to watch this, and I'm going to go for it as well.
Ooh, 20. Not natural.
Nice. Well, I got an 11. So
that's cute.
So you got a 20 for catching, and Bellic, what'd you get for throwing it?
3 plus 2.
Oh, Bellic. You know why, of course. That armor of Agathys makes your hands slippery.
And I'll take it.
The stone, you know, slips just at the wrong angle out of your hand, but Rook, it just falls in your hand and you hear it kind of clink. You were able to just reach out.
Yeah.
Bellic's not a pitcher, but Rook's definitely a catcher.
And guys,
the party splits.
Party splits.
Hey man, you guys need cover. I'm giving you cover.
Yeah. I know. I was hoping Bellic would come with us and Steve would just exit on the roof, but now Bellic's on the ground by himself. Like,
so guys, you two immediately assailed. You know, Steve, you have just been hit. You see one of these archer guys drawing another bow on you. You got three guys below you, and you are a party of two. What are you guys
doing?
Are
we rolling initiative? Because I'm going to put daggers in these bow guys.
Yeah. I mean, Beleg seems to have stayed here. Now, initiative in this case is going to be interesting because I'll sort of give both you guys advantage depending on how you want to do this. I'll give you advantage in rolling initiative.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Does that mean I get double initiative? Double advantage?
Because you already have advantage on rolling initiative?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's not to say one of those archers doesn't have advantage on initiative as well.
So that's a 17. Oh, 18 plus 2. So that's 20. Non-nat.
Okay.
So 19 for Steve and 16 for Stolas.
Okay. Beleg, these first two guys are now stumbling out, and one of them has almost, like, you know, sat down on his ass, and he's trying to take his boot off. He's been impaled really badly. There is a third fellow with, I guess, a dagger in his face, and he is prone on the ground. But then there is, would be approximately 45 to 50 feet back a line of three archers, well outfitted. These are armored archers.
Sweet.
Beleg first, and then Steve, then Stolas.
Yeah.
Nice. I am going to... Fuck, I can't hit all three archers with a shatter.
Why don't you drop it on the sword guys?
Yeah, I can do that. I wanted to hit the archers and take out the ranged, and then just deal with the sword guys with my glaive.
I can make the shot.
Alright. Then I will...
They don't have super, super high armor. But
I will drop the... I'll drop the shatter on the three soldiers that are running over the caltrops. Rob, if I may request it, I think the two that actually stepped on the caltrops should have a disadvantage on the shatter saving throw.
Oh,
certainly one of them. The guy who is not paying attention at all here. And are you trying to catch all three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say that two of the three of them are going to have disadvantage. The guy with a knife down his throat, yes. The guy picking stuff out of his boot, yes. This other fellow, though, staggering forward, I mean, he is able.
All right. So it's... spell casting DC of 14. Spell save. Oh,
fuck.
14.
14?
Yeah.
Wait.
That's a con save.
Gonna do it.
Sweet.
That's not gonna do it.
Yes.
Kaboom.
Disadvantage is hurting me here. That's not gonna do it. So we're really zero for everything. That's not... Ugh, it's all shit.
It's all shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so both of the helmed guards with caltrops in their feet, and additionally the fellow who strides behind them, who's had like half of his face and cheek filled with dagger, are taking full damage.
See? That's 4d8. Because I'm level 5.
Bruh.
So that's 3. That's 6, 9. Oh, that's good. That's like good for them. That's just the one, so that's 10.
Aw.
I know, and 7. So that's 17 damage to all three.
Shatter.
Oh, shit,
this
mama.
This is shatter.
Now enter my fucking attack of opportunity zone, bitches.
Fuck yeah.
You're casting shatter.
Yeah.
There is not going to be much left. How much was the total damage?
17.
Each.
On each. Yeah, each.
17 each.
No division here.
Nope, shatter's awesome.
A sudden loud ringing noise, right? Typically, it's thunder damage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are, you know, just shaken to the core, and all of them burst apart, armor flying in every direction, entrails and organs in a shower of crimson spray.
Ha!
Steve's just gonna look down and be like, ugh, gross.
Ugh. I guess he didn't run with the other ones.
Well done.
Ha 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 ha. Thank you.
Boop. Here I was worried about splitting the party.
And now Steve's up.
Yeah, anything else in your move, Beleg? You've just peeked around this corner, dealt the shatter. You still have full movement. Anything else?
No, I'm not getting in the range of those archers. I see the archers, right?
You do. You would see them, you know, through this entranceway, just as the fine mist of shattered human being, or maybe whatever races a few of these guys were, dissipates into the night air in the lamplight.
Yeah, and I'm staying in my sheltered position.
Okay, Steve, you're up. All right. In your immediate vicinity, they have all been shattered, these three soldiers.
They've all been shpoopied. Okay, so Steve skips up to here and unleashes Dagger Hell on the archers.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
God, you can throw far.
Yep.
Far enough.
They haven't acted yet, so I've got three regular attacks, one offhand attack. I guess we'll go from left to right. So starting with Buddy here.
Buddy.
Okay, the leftmost archer here, who has, you know, drawn an arrow, knocked an arrow, but not loosed it, so roll against AC.
AC 18.
Decimated.
That's the sound of the dagger flying through. 18 damage.
You've probably hit him. Let's see as he draws his bow and knocks an arrow. Would have hit him in the front half somewhere.
Okay. Still living?
Yep.
Okay, so number two is going to be an 18 again. On the same guy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That is 16 more damage.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And, in rapid succession, Steve, this guy is going down. This archer is not built for more than that amount of damage.
Okay, is that the one that shot me?
It is not.
Okay.
The middle one was. And then
number two. So next dagger is going to be a...
Three daggers.
15.
Versus AC?
Yeah.
This will fly wide of the mark, Steve, or perhaps bounce off a, you know, armor hidden beneath this archer's outer cloak.
Okay. And then the last dagger is going to be a 18 plus 3, so 21.
That hits.
And that is 16 points of damage.
Okay, on this same centermost guard who looks like perhaps the senior fellow in the guy who shot you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that hits, and the damage was?
For 16.
Okay. He is looking right at you, Steve.
Okay.
He's looking right at you as your dagger flies right into his forearm. And he drops his bow. His hand has been lacerated.
I flip him double birds, and I'm going to run behind this spot here. Yeah, so I am putting rooftop between me and the archers.
Your owl now, Steve.
He's just going to fly right into the... he's going to fly into the injured archer's face. Mess about.
You wish to send Stolas to do the help action?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what does he... Do you always retain some movement for him to kind of fly away?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If I can move him out of range, just to flap in the face, and then... is it possible to use message? Is that considered an action?
Let's find
out. Look it up.
I'm looking at it right now, because it is definitely a cantrip.
So you could move Stolas, what, like 50 60. In, then 10 away?
Yeah. Actually, message is an action, so I can't use it in combat.
Okay.
Okay.
So what are these guys going to even shoot at?
Oh, sorry. So where are you moving Stolas to after he does his screeching in the face routine?
If you can pinwheel and whoop, whoop.
Okay. What's Stolas' AC?
It is not very high. 11.
Okay. So, yeah. What's Stolas' HP?
It is also 11.
Stolas takes 16 damage.
Oh, shit!
Stolas!
Oh! All the animals! They're all dying!
This same fellow, Steve, who dealt you, what, like 14 damage?
The guy in the... Yeah, the archer?
Right. The arrow is still sticking out of... It must have caught you somewhere that allows you to still kind of move about and be spry, but this is no spring chicken. And he has picked your owl, off of the roof just as the owl, you know, left his face. And truly, I mean, this guy is scratched to shit. He's got a lacerated hand. He's furious. He has shot Stolas, although, of course, Stolas now, I suppose, would, like... What does Stolas do? Like, vortex back into the ethereal realm?
He's pulled back to the realm from once he came. He's gone. Like, when he dies, he just, like a puff of demonic incense is fucking...
Okay, perfect. His friend as well now is going to take a shot at you, Mr. Steve. Although you're hidden back there, you have... Oh, just heard an arrow fly over. Like, you get the feeling you know... Or they know you're up there. They saw them flying. Beleg, you are up.
I'm up.
And you now see these two archers, shooting upwards, I guess, into the western rooftops. And one of these archers is just in terrible shape. The other one is unscathed.
I will... Do I have advantage on them? Who did Stolas fuck with?
That guy in the middle.
You're about 70 feet away. So the fellow who's bloodied.
I have advantage on?
Yep. Yeah, all right. Next attack on him gets advantage. Yeah.
Then I will... Eldritch Blast both of them. No, both on him. Fuck it. I'm going to just concentrate both beams on that fucker.
Ho ho ho. What is the range of Eldritch Blastin'?
120. That's a 17 plus 6. That's a 23.
Yeah, that has no problem.
And damage. Roll. Fuck. 2d10. 3 and a 7. So that's 10 damage.
As your blasts rip through the courtyard and echo off the walls, you have hit this guy point blank in the torso as he looks up towards the rooftops, and he staggers back onto the ground, and just as he falls, you know, midair, turns to the kind of gray, crumpled, shriveled, ashy corpse you're so familiar with.
And from his mouth, he mutters, "Rosebud."
The last archer here that you can just see, Beleg, as you stare, you know, through into the compound, into the courtyard, he is running. He is making to run, and he would be the last foe that you see. And then top of the order, Steve.
Yeah, he starts running. I'm running after him.
Yeah, and he shot an arrow at me, so that was his
okay,
attacks.
Beleg.
Ba-doop-ba-doop.
Is there any way I can walk around the caltrops?
I was fucking sure Beleg was gonna dash through the caltrops.
No.
I was sure. Sure. Because Steve only laid out like a 5 or 6 foot, so you can just jump over him, just to athletics. Or no, jump. It's just a normal jump.
Okay. If that's the case, then I can run to here.
And then you see this, you know, archer, you know, starting to turn heel. And Steve, you're up as you see Beleg dash through into the courtyard, down and directly to your right.
All right. Well, they killed my magic owl, so they're all going to die now.
We're going to see a different side of Steve from now on.
The entirety of my dagger attacks are going to the spinal archer here.
Oh, God.
There is a salvo coming from on high. Steve, roll against AC.
All right. 19.
Hits.
That is 16 points of damage.
Ooh, as your dagger then is flying at not quite the max range, but I mean almost the max range.
Well, if his back is turned to us and he's starting to run, I want the first one. What's the most painful part? Small of his back, maybe?
All right, nice little back rub.
And then number two, 15.
Hits also.
Yeah.
That is also 16 points of damage.
Oh, yeah. And you can almost hear the sickening crunch as you destroy probably his head and skull region.
Yeah, the necketal area.
That's very scientific.
Yeah.
Necketal.
Is he still flopping about, or should I?
Well, now you would see him stagger to one. You must have taken him within an inch of his life, Steve, but he's not down.
Okay, I'm going to help him out. Oh, man. Okay, that sucks. Okay, roll the two.
Man. Okay, your third and final dagger just barely misses him, but glances off the interior courtyard here, which is not cobblestones. It's sort of like this kind of like a fine gravel. Beleg, to you now.
All right. He's close to, like, I saw all that happen, so I see him close to dead.
Oh, yeah.
It's only one guy. I am going to give him the old finger point and
finger waggle.
Bust out a cantrip I haven't busted out in a while. I'm going to throw some Toll the Dead at him because I've already shattered, so any noise I've made before will be more than the noise I'm about to make now.
You've only got one target here, man, so what is this, a cantrip? Just deal damage, or does he throw against it?
It's a cantrip. There's a wisdom save.
Okay.
On a failed save, he takes 2d12 necrotic damage. On a successful save, he takes 2d8.
It versus your 14?
Yeah.
Okay. So far, yeah, the common soldier has not fared well against Eldritch magic tonight.
No.
Here we go.
All right, with 2d8, though.
That's a 2.
All right. 2d12.
That's a 2.
So he takes... Oh, no. Off the table.
Ah! Oh, man, the table rolls.
Oh, there it is. Oh, shit. The dice gods are kind. An 11 and a 3, so that's 14 damage.
Whoa, yes. Toll the Dead, can you explain how this archer, who is kind of stumbling forward after taking two daggers, is now ripped from this world of the living?
So I point my finger, and instantly, as soon as I point my finger, he just explodes. Just boom.
Beleg.
Yeah.
Yeah, this courtyard is echoing with the sounds of reverberating death.
Yes.
Steve, Beleg, you are now out of initiative.
Steve goes up to this archer, the one that killed Stolas.
Uh-oh.
Is the archer still... Is he dying or is he fully dead?
This is the one that Beleg turned into a husk.
Sorry.
Oh, so he's fully dead.
Oh, yeah.
I ruined your poetic justice.
Well, I go over to another archer. I pull out a dagger and open up his throat, spilling blood all over the ground. And in a demonic script, or a demonic phrase, basically... I guess it's super cool, like, cut open the man's throat and finish with blood for Stolas.
Steve, you do that?
Come on, let's go.
Beleg, what's your passive perception again?
Come on, give me some time here. I gotta look this shit up. I don't use my passive perception real. 12.
12, it's perfect.
Better than Rook.
Okay, as you root over, you know, the bodies in succession here, similar to the guys that you were fighting in those internal passageways of the barracks, these seem to be guys with very little personal identification. They seem to be well-trained, like rank-and-file soldiers. These archers were probably, you know, on duty or something. They have short bows, Beleg. They have chainmail and a breastplate, respectively, and all the other bits and pieces you might find on them. But, you know, they don't have bellies full of gold.
I'm going to take a short bow for Rook.
Okay.
It'll be my way of apologizing for taking up so much RP time by Steve and I having to battle.
And we're going to switch over to our friends on the wagon. Steve, was there anything left in after you sort of dart away? And then Beleg, was there anything left you'd like to do in the courtyard? And then how do you plan to sort of, you know, finish up here?
I feel like I just want to look at Steve, do a head nod, and then run to the wizard and spear. I don't know about Steve. That will be my intention. I will look at him and head nod and see how he reacts.
I'm already clambering up the onto the back up on the roof. I
feel like someone who threw up a high five and got just turned down.
Hey! Are you like, let's go. Come on.
Okay. All right, he's climbing the roof. I'm gonna run like a normal person because I'm not. No, I'm gonna try and climb up the roof with Steve. Remember how competitive Beleg is.
Nice. Beleg, as you quickly follow Steve up onto the roofs, I mean, this isn't the most challenging, because especially this kind of three-leveled inner courtyard here allows even the foolhardiest of people to clamber up.
Then, yeah, I follow Steve.
Okay, we'll see what happens when you have to, you know, grappling hook over a 14-foot canal. Off you go.
I still have a grappling hook, too.
Oh, so. Nice. So when you meet
anything you can do, I can do better.
Let's see what's when you meet Steve up top there, you guys would know and you would recognize the quartermaster's, you know, barracks, the compound. It is not at all far from the Wizard and Spear. In fact, as you stand up above the lighted streets, which are starting to die down a little bit, certainly not a lot of people out here, as the night has really drawn on, you can tell the Wizard and Spear is not a 5-minute walk further down South Main Street. Katoa and Rook.
Yes, sir.
You sit atop the wagon as you are drawn swiftly as you sit on the cart. Katoa with Krizblik, what are you guys doing? It is just probably a minute or two before you will be at the Wizard and Spear.
Did we jump in the back of the cart or did we jump like into the seats?
Into the back of this kind of flat. It's like a very, very large hay wagon, but made for, you know, approximately 20 or 30 dead bodies.
But there's 5 in there, right? Or 3 in there.
4 made it onto the wagon, okay. 4 corpses with their armor, and then the pony driver, Matthias up at the front, and then Tobias kind of riding along with you guys in the back.
See?
I'm going to talk into the stone of near speech and say, Dark Lord to Shapeshifter, come in.
Nice.
Might be the best thing you've said all campaign.
Dark Lord, this is Shapeshifter.
I think Steve has the other Stone of Near Speech.
Yep.
He would have heard that.
Dark Lord to Shapeshifter, come in.
Hello?
Oh, Boy Scout, how are you doing?
I've been better.
You got hit hard.
Are you guys coming to the weight chain or the Wizard and Spear? Or how are you doing back there?
We're on our way.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys there shortly. I got to give Kaitoa the nod of they're on their way.
I'm doing my best performance to be a dead body. I'm gonna try and like bury myself in the dead bodies so no one can see.
Okay, as you guys draw up on the wizard and spear, the candlelight is out.
Well, I don't think we go in there guns a-blazing because I know what happened last.
No, I think we might be able to pull some weight with the quartermaster banging on this door, or we let these guys go in there and handle business like they usually would, even though it's...
Yeah, well, should we ask them if there's another way to... or another entrance to maybe get their attention? Leah's attention, right? Leah? Is that right?
Leah, what are you folks talking about? The redhead that runs the desk? Home, I think, at this hour? No? Well, murdering's a hobby for you guys 24/7. Tra-la-la!
Is there another way other than the front door or another door to knock on to get their attention?
You're asking me? What, do you want to break into this place? Well,
no,
roll stealth.
When you come to sell goods, where do you go?
The guy in the front, he has now stopped the cart and the ponies in front of the windows here in the front, guys. These large windows that you'll remember kind of you can look into. And just as you are looking in and asking this fellow in the back, does he know, a way around this shop? He seems like he does not. You see somebody drawing the curtains inside.
I'm going to turn and wave and say, this is your quartermaster. We have an injured being here that we're trying to heal. Can you help us?
The answer is no.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd take that as a no. Okay, I'm going to go up to the front door and knock on it and repeat. We're in need of some help. Can you please open up your doors and help us heal this animal?
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
I don't know why I went back there.
You know, in some D&D, declared is declared, Rook. You die.
Yeah.
You die.
Instantly. Right
through the caltrops.
It's like chess. You took your hand off the
caltrops.
There. All I did was I clicked on my guy to move him. I just went flying over there.
Right the caltrops.
So, whoop.
Okay, so Steve,
I imagine this is correct. A rooftop that's extended higher.
Your three-dimensional interpretation of my 2D shadow renderings is accurate. That was a crazy battle.
Oh, Stephen Bellick ran brain on those people.
That's what you call it.
I don't know about you, but I didn't take any damage. Oh, you took 14 damage. You took...
Steve is like as low in hit points as I think he's ever been this entire game.
Yeah.